Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is the Title IX coordinator from Michigan Tech, Beth Lundy-Sacchero. Beth, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The reason why we are talking, Beth, today is, you know, unless you've lived under a rock, you probably know that there's been a number of stories coming out of Hollywood. Started off with Harvey Weinstein and probably have reached a tipping point here with Kevin Spacey because of, you know, the how prevalent sexual assault and sexual harassment is in Hollywood. And we think, okay, well, that's over in there. That's an elitist society. So, you know, does that affect other people? Well, what I've come to understand is it's nice that the spotlight is being shown in an area that has a lot of spotlights, but these problems that are happening in Hollywood, they're happening everywhere, in college campuses, in our businesses, in our hometown, and they don't get the press that the Hollywood cases are getting right now, but they're sure there. And I'm somebody that has had to learn this in a while. I reached out to you at Michigan Tech because, you know, a year or two ago, there was a lot of attention being paid towards sexual harassment and sexual assault on college campuses. And many people wondered if that was being kind of overblown. Could it really be, what is it, number 1 in 4 women that, you know, can experience a sexual assault while they're at college? I have a daughter at Michigan Tech, so these are important issues to me. Well, 1 in 4, that's a lot. It really is happening, and that's something that we want to be able to address today. So thank you again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So what is, you know, you deal with this on a pretty regular basis. What is your position as Title IX coordinator at Michigan Tech? What do you do?
So as a Title IX coordinator, I'm responsible for making sure that the university has prevention programs, reporting pieces, policies and procedures in place to help victims and respondents, so reporting parties as well as responding parties, understand what their rights are and what options they have to seek assistance.
Well, you've undoubtedly dealt with a lot of people who, you know, are victims, and you want to encourage them to come forward to deal with, you know, not only their own personal problems, but to make sure that the perpetrators are held responsible. Seeing what's come out of Hollywood over the past month or so, how's that made you feel?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think we're at a tipping point where people are starting to really realize that this is an issue. And it's a good time because I think it will allow victims to come forward and say what has happened to them now or in the past, because they will be more believed. This allows more people to talk about it, more people to come forward, and it improves their believability when they do bring it forward.
Yeah, it's just been an avalanche of people coming forward, you know, talking about, you know, people like Harvey Weinstein or Kevin Spacey, just, you know, just to use those two as example. But it seems like every day there's somebody new. I don't know what the tally is for number of accusations that have come out. But before long, we're going to be in the dozens, and it's probably not going to stop there. But these are activities being that were done over a period of decades, mm-hmm. and right. happening to so many different people, yet, you know, did anybody know about it, or did everybody know about it and nobody said anything because they were too afraid, or that's the way the club worked?
Well, I think we're finally at a point where women and men both are willing to speak up against violence in society and are willing now to change the culture of the workplace and in the educational environments where perhaps they haven't been able to do that before. And there's a lot of reasons for that, power and control in regard to in that situation, and maybe not a lot of resources and assistance from help or from friends. But I believe now everybody's more comfortable with coming forward and reporting. So just as you say, that other people won't get hurt. And I think it's important that we change the cycle of the harassment and discrimination so we can stop it.
With things like the hashtag MeToo movement that came out a week or two ago, where, you know, and that was another, that was an eye-opener. When people started posting that up, there were a lot of people that I've worked with and friends of mine that were posting that up that were saying that they were a victim of a sexual assault or a sexual harassment at some point. And we want to talk about the difference between those two in a moment. But to see just how common this was and how many women are affected, this is not a problem that happens every now and then to somebody you don't know, or, you know, it's happening everywhere, you know, the places that we work at. I worked at a restaurant for a number of years downstate, and they covered this. I was a manager there, and they covered a lot of this in the training. Mm-hmm. And it dealt with, you know, relationships that managers would have with their employees, you know, mainly the servers or cooks or whoever might be there. And they had to have a policy dealing with it. And it was, look, we can't stop you from falling in love. But if you guys are, if there's going to be a relationship, one of you has to leave. One of you has to either go to a different restaurant or something like that, because you can't have a person in power in a relationship with somebody under power. That, you know, inevitably there's going to be a conflict there. And how do you define if with the person that was in the lower step, in the, you know, the employee, you know, how much choice does that person really have to say in the relationship without fear of having any kind of repercussions? It's not a fair playing field. So they dealt with it that way. Other places, they have you watch videos. They, you know, try to address it, make sure that's part of the conversation. What is the difference between a sexual assault and a sexual harassment?
Okay. So sexual harassment is any kind of unwelcome sexual or sex-based gender kinds of discrimination. And it could be, and you got to remember, it's got to be unwelcome. It has to be some sort of sex-based advancement comment. For example, it can be verbal, like I'm saying something to you that's inappropriate. It can be nonverbal, like I'm making a gesture of some sort, which isn't correct. It could be written, social media posts, emails, notes on somebody's desks, could be graphic, photos on screensavers, for example, or it could be physical, where I'm actually touching you. And then, of course, the legal standard is that it's also severe and pervasive in that environment. So one action of this may not be severe, but it's certainly unprofessional in the workplace and in the educational environment. And that person should be addressed right away if that would happen, so they would learn from that and not do it again, right? Sometimes people don't understand that they're being offensive. We just got to tell them that that's what's happening. But if it continues, then it becomes a hostile environment. And then that makes that in workplace not comfortable for that person that's being sexually harassed, right? And then there's another thing called quid pro quo, which basically you just referred to, actually, where there is a person in power over a subordinate. And it's like, well, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. So I'll give you, go to dinner with me, I will get you this great promotion. So there's some sort of this or that give and take. And yes, it's always a situation where the person that's in power is the one that possibly could be putting this other person in a difficult position to be able to say no and have to comply because of the repercussions that would come based on that.
Now, you started that off with a word called it was unwelcomed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, not everybody's got a very good filter about what would possibly be unwelcomed or welcome. Some people have some pretty crazy ideas what they think somebody wants them to do or say.
Right.
Well, in that case, what does the person who doesn't want the advance, mm-hmm. what can they do to communicate that, and how do they protect themselves? Right. Relationships happen in the workplace all the time.
Right.
You know, I know quite a few people, they met at work and they started dating and, you know, they're very happy. And so, you know, that does happen. You know.
Right. And if it's consensual and it's welcome and it's not a supervisory experience, which you just chatted about, there's nothing wrong with that based on, as long as you're sure you're following the policies of your workplace. But when it becomes unwelcome, an unwelcome standard would be a reasonable person standard. So if you were in a meeting and there was a joke and it was off color, would a reasonable person also think that's unwelcome? Again, is it professional in that work environment? So anything that's not wanted would be unwelcome. And so it's important that that person speak up and tell somebody. And if they're not comfortable going directly to their supervisor, then tell a friend or tell the supervisor something to address it. So be sure to speak up. Be sure to tell that person in no uncertain terms that that wasn't appropriate or that wasn't funny, and to not repeat it, basically. And if it does get repeated, I think it's important that that person go for help and get assistance that they need so the behavior stops. And the harasser has to know that it's inappropriate and they have to stop. And so in workplace, it's really good to have some expectations in regard to what those things are that are appropriate and inappropriate in a workplace.
A larger business or a corporation that has multiple levels of protection, and they've got an HR person and different ways to places for somebody who's feeling uncomfortable or victimized, they have somebody to go to complain. Here in the Copper Country, it's a lot of smaller companies that we work for, and oftentimes they don't have those layers. You might work in a place like, you know, say like here at the radio station, there's, you know, less than a dozen employees that work here anytime. We don't have those layers. So if you work in a company, a smaller like company like that, what can you do if you don't have, you know, what if it's your boss and he's the person that runs the whole place?
Right. That's a really good question. If there's a human resources, that's the place you need to go. If you trust your supervisor, that's the place to go. If it is the supervisor, I would suggest that you talk with somebody you do trust at your workplace and have them work with you to resolve the problem. Or a parent company of some sort, someplace you can go. You can also file criminal charges. That is a way to go about. Sexual harassment and sexual assault, sexual violence, any kind of non-consensual sex is against the law, too. So there's another place that you could go and just ask questions. You don't have to tell the person who the person is. You just want to go and find out how all this works, because it is a complicated process. There's, of course, Dial Help or the Barber Kettle Gun Lock Shelter. They're happy to give advice about sexual harassment or sexual assault and what services are available. At the university, there's always the Title IX coordinator, regardless if you're an employee or a student. So there are avenues out there, and I would encourage them to just go and ask. I mean, the victim has the power to give the information that they're comfortable giving at the time that they go and talk to that person. Like, sometimes people will come talk to me and they won't want to give me all the details or the person's name, and that's fine. They're just coming to find out, okay, if this was happening to me, what options do I have?
What about the fear of not being believed? Should the person who's being victimized, do they need to gather anything or have any evidence when they come forward?
I think it's a really good idea that if a person is in a situation where they're being sexually harassed or sexually assaulted, to make sure they're documenting, keeping notes of what happened, when, who said what, keep screenshots of inappropriate texts, for example, that have been sent or written. And so any kind of documentation will help. It is true that sometimes these cases are word against word, and it's important to try to find a way to tip the balance to make sure that that person that's reporting, it is really true, because the more information you have, the better, because if you go to a company and they do an investigation, they're going to look at both sides. And we've been trained to do that, to kind of know the things that to look for in regard to kinds of questions to ask and those types of things. So the more documentation you can have, just start a private notebook and start writing notes.
I'm going to turn us over and start focusing on the campus, college campuses, mm-hmm. because, you know, a lot of the conversation we've had so far has been about workplaces, and we're dealing with, you know, mature adults, you know, people who should know better. Mm-hmm. Well, in college campuses, you're dealing with a lot of people ranging from 18 to their lower 20s that, you know, in a lot of ways, they're still kids. You mm-hmm. know, they really don't know, and they're, you know, dating and relationships with the people of the opposite sex and are... They're new. They're, mm-hmm. they're new experiences for them. What pitfalls do they have to watch out for, both being the making sure that they're not a victim, and also making sure that, you know, their intentions don't go too far, that, you know, they have to shake off some of the stereotypes that they've learned about men and women dating when they get to college campuses, when they become an adult at all, because they're not true.
Right. So we spend a lot of time training all of our incoming students. Incoming first years, transfer students, and graduate students all have required training that they have to go through. So if they know from the day one that this type of behavior is unacceptable on university campus. And so I think that they are just learning about what works for them and what doesn't work. And I think it's important that the victim has some pieces in place that can protect them when they go out. But it's hard to say that, because you don't want to place the blame on the victim. The blame really is on the person that hurts that person. And so really it's not about don't get raped, it's about don't rape. And so it's important that we do a lot of work about, you know, helping everybody understand what's not appropriate at these party settings or in the classroom settings, right? So everybody understanding and watching out for each other. One of the things we talk a lot about to Michigan Tech students is taking care of each other, and that if their friend is not in a good situation, to help that friend get home, and vice versa. We do a lot of conversation with our men in regard to addressing each other in regard to their appropriate behavior. And we say, you know, a lot of the change is going to happen around the poker table, where you as men on our campuses that are changing your behaviors and your friends' behaviors, so this can kind of end that cycle of inappropriate behavior. And I always tell, when I teach a class, a couple workshops on it, and, you know, when you go to a party, you want to look nice. You get dressed up, you wear a nice skirt or a nice pair of jeans. If you're a male or transgender student, what makes you feel good about the way you look to go to a party? And there is nothing wrong with that. You're going to party, you want to be attractive, you want to meet other people, and that's okay. It's just when that line is crossed by that person that wants to hurt you. So we should never blame the victim for wanting to look nice. We should blame that person that's out to harm that person.
You were just addressing something a moment ago that I thought was pretty important. You were talking about, you know, the changes will happen around the poker table. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the image, of course, there is men, you know, yes, around the poker table. And pardon me for the stereotype.
But, that's okay.
But the reason why I bring that up is because, you know, some people feel that this is, you know, it's not a men's problem. This is a women's problem or a feminist problem or something of that nature. And men, you know, men just need to straighten up and, you know, and not do it anymore. And though that is true, it's everybody's problem. And, you know, men need to be part of the solution. And so, you know, it's we want men, we want, you know, myself and anybody else to be talking about it, to bring it on the open, to shed that spotlight that's right now in Hollywood on our college campuses and everywhere else, and say this is not going to be tolerated at all anymore. And even, you know, any and all instances need to be reported and flushed out.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, it would be nice to get to the point where, you know, just like you don't drink and drive anymore. You know, people make plans if they're going to go out and have a beer or two to have a ride home. We need to make this issue a big issue too, so students don't continue to do these behaviors that are harmful to themselves and to others. Just like stop smoking. You know, nobody smokes anymore on college campuses. Why can't it be the same way, right? We just need to stop the violence. I mean, violence in regard to any kind of issue that may arise is just not appropriate.
You mentioned rape. Mm-hmm. Sexual assault does not always have to include rape. It can include other advances as well. And then in the realm of sexual harassment, of course, it may never even get to that point, but it can still have a damaging effect on the victim. What are some of the other things other than rape? Because somebody said, hey, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have other behaviors that need to be kept in check, because, you know, mm-hmm, harassing somebody with text messages through their entire day could also, you know, damage somebody.
Correct. So, first of all, stalking is under the university policy and also a criminal offense. So that's considered sexual violence because it is disruptive and terrifying and emotionally distressful for the victim. There's any type of non-consensual touching or non-consensual intercourse, and that's what you would think of as rape, non-consensual sexual intercourse. And then there's also sexual coercion, which you may want to call seduction, right? The old word, you know, just not giving up until finally that person says, okay. So that's kind of sexual coercion. And in sexual, like sexual harassment touching, again, we'll go back to severity. I mean, if, you know, you would come in in my office and give me a massage on my shoulders. And if I say, that's fine, that's fine. If I don't like that and I say, don't massage my shoulders anymore, you need to stop. But if you come in every day now and massage my shoulders, that's inappropriate sexual touching, and can lead to worse things.
What do we tell the young men? I'll just address them in this particular context, because when they believe that women send mixed signals, that the old joke was about the, you know, no means yes, you know, and you know, a woman wants a real man who will push her up against the wall and kiss her real passionately, you know, and they think that that's, you know, what's expected in, though it may play out well on cinema or in a book, it doesn't really always work out well in real life.
Correct. So, when I work with students, I say no really does mean no. And then if, you know, you ask her, him out three times and they say no, they mean no. It doesn't mean try harder to get me to go out with you. That's it. You know, and I always tell folks too, if you meet somebody that night, you're out on the town, you're having a good time, get their phone number and call them tomorrow. They'll be there tomorrow if they're interested in you tomorrow. Not 2 o'clock at night when you're at a party.
If the situation does arise that where somebody wants to report it, what are some things like Michigan Tech able to do in response to a report being made?
Right. So in the university setting, as soon as I talk with a student or an employee, we can do interim measures, which means we can move them out of a class if they need to because that person's in that class. We can change housing. We, Public Safety and Police Services, will provide escorts on campus. We do what we call no contact orders, which are similar to a PPO criminally. There's lots of interim things that we can do to help that person, even if they choose not to file any kind of formal report. And then, of course, they also can file criminally. And criminally, you know, you can get protections through the law through PPO. And so there are interim things that you can do right away that kind of helps alleviate some of that that tension. And again, I will say that we're there, but there's also Dial Help in the area to call 24/7 if you have a question. And then also intimate partner violence, of course, is a part of sexual violence and against the law and against university policies. There's also the Barbara Kettle Gunlock Shelter for assistance. And don't be afraid just to call and ask a couple questions if you have a couple questions.
Now, as a Title IX coordinator, how do people get in touch with you?
Right. So you can email title9@mtu.edu. You can give me a call at 906-487-3310. You can stop by my office. I'm in 306 Administration Building. Or you can go online. Our title9/mtu webpage, our mtu.edu/title9 webpages have lots of information, lots and lots. It's really good. And you can actually fill out a form right there to report something. And you can report it using your name or you can report it anonymously.
Are there student organizations or other college organizations that people can go if they want support, if they want to, you know, be around other people that share the same experiences or just, you know, want to be part of a group?
I would suggest that counseling services at Michigan Tech for students, they are a good place to start with students that have questions and concerns and maybe some issues of their own about where to go and how to report. We have a student group that works with us and just to do some training pieces. So if they wanted to contact me, I could get them in contact with them.
Okay. Lastly, I just wanted to address the effects, the long-term effects that your, you know, a person's stupid mistake or poor judgment resulting in, you know, a sexual assault or harassment. What is that? What long-term effect does that have on a victim? I mean, why can't they just get over it?
It's a very long effect. There's studies after studies that show that affects their personal life, their academic life, their intimate life for a very long time. And you have to, particularly with sexual violence, you have to remember it's a trauma. So it's your whole body has just gone through a trauma. So there's also medical aspects as well as the mental health aspects for victims. So it is very difficult for a victim to kind of work through all these processes. And sometimes it can take years or longer. That's why I suggest working with a counselor right away so you can process what's happening to you. And then get the help that you need.
So that young man or young woman at the party that you're attracted to, but it's not reciprocated, and you're like, well, I'm going to force this issue, and you do, you could very well be ruining their lives for many years to come.
Correct. The ruining the victim's life for sure. And then if we do charges against the other person that hurt them, they will, have disciplinary sanctions as well, probation, suspension, expulsion from the institution.
Definitely a lot at stake. I encourage people to keep, following the stories that come out here in the news, but, more than just, thinking that this is some Hollywood exec over, on the other side of the country, understand that this is that's a symptom of a much bigger problem that is happening right here in our homes, in our campuses, in our businesses in town, and get involved, and let's together say no more. There is no tolerance, and there should not be for this. Okay. Beth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.